She's a self-described health data geek with an entrepreneurial touch. Now she's the new Chief Technology Officer at Health and Human Services. Susanna Fox took over from Brian Sivak, who stepped down in April. She's now been on the job for about a month, and she joins me now to discuss the new role. Ms. Fox, great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so tell us about yourself. You are an entrepreneur in residence at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Entrepreneur in residence sounds a little bit self-contradictory. What did you do there?
Well, I helped the foundation look across the landscape and recognize opportunities for grant making, sort of in the same way that an entrepreneur in residence helps a venture capital fund do the same thing. It's a pretty well-recognized role in Silicon Valley, and it's really great to see it coming to philanthropy as well as to government.
All right. So as a self-described health data geek, tell us about your background in health data. And apparently you've got a pretty strong belief in the power of it to help healthcare delivery ultimately.
Absolutely. So when I was at the Pew Research Center, we conducted national telephone surveys about the social impact of the internet. And I paired that with online fieldwork and patient community, staying as close as I could to the ultimate end user, the customer, the patients and the caregivers. And by really understanding healthcare delivery at that ground level and collecting data, I think that we are able to make better decisions about the future of healthcare. I'm a really strong believer in reality-based decision-making, and the more data we have, the better.
And so at this point in the history of this whole effort, it seems like there's a lot of data being gathered, but it hasn't quite made the leap over into the hands of all the practitioners. What is the missing link here to get to, as you put it, to unleash all of the power of this data?
It's a great question. So what I've seen in the field is that there are huge pools of data being gathered. We see it in electronic health records. There's so much opportunity for understanding a patient population by pooling the data in an electronic health record system. There's also a lot of data being gathered by patients and caregivers. One of the studies that I did found that 7 out of 10 American adults are tracking some aspect of their health, and that's not data that's currently captured by electronic health records. So my hope is that by looking into the future, by understanding what is possibly in the future, the agency can anticipate and build systems so that we can really take advantage of everyone's wish to take better care of themselves and their families, and clinicians and scientists' wish to understand at a population level what's going on. And that's what data can bring to us.
Lots of people are walking around with Fitbits and Nike bands and this, that, and the other bands around their chests, and everybody's uploading this data somewhere. Do you envision a possibility of where that data could somehow be gathered anonymously and made so that you couldn't tie it to an individual? But would that tell us something about the health of America and the trends?
There are some really interesting aspects of this. I should say that most people who are tracking their health are doing it really to solve their own mysteries. They have questions about their own health. Maybe they're trying to lose weight. Maybe they're trying to figure out why they can't sleep or what is this pattern of headaches that they're having. And so in a lot of ways, it's a private pursuit of data and understanding. But there have been some interesting indications of how this can be used in surprising ways. People who were wearing their Jawbone wristbands in California were awakened by the earthquake. And so Jawbone released the data showing basically when people felt the earthquake, because that's when they jumped out of bed. And so that wasn't designed to be an earthquake measurement tool. And I think that's an example of how we're going to have some unforeseen consequences of people tracking their data. And that's, you know, also the promise that we see in precision medicine, that we're going to unleash this really wonderful possibility of genomic data mixing in with what's called phenotypical data, and that's the data that's really about someone's life. And when we can marry those two data streams, we'll really have a full picture of an individual and of the population.
And so maybe in the same way we donate blood now, we could donate data at some point in the future. You don't know whose blood you're getting. but you know, it's in there helping somebody. So maybe that's the future.
Yeah, there's a wonderful phrase, data altruism, and that is when you ask people if they're willing to donate their data for the public good, you know, with all the security protections and anonymity protections, the vast majority of American adults say yes, that in order to push forward science, in order to find a cure, especially for a disease that runs in their family, people are very willing to donate their data.
And so someday we'll have probably digital cadavers maybe in med school. We're speaking with Susanna Fox. She is the new Chief Technology Officer at Health and Human Services. What attracted you to come to HHS? Because in some ways you've been dealing with it all along.
Yeah, I often say that I've been kind of driving along in the research and entrepreneurship lane and veering over into the policy lane because I've been living in Washington for so long. And I really believe in the mission of HHS to enhance and protect the health and well-being of all Americans. We have such an opportunity to lead the world in understanding the future of healthcare and to set it in the context of the ingenuity that we really are so privileged to be part of in the U.S. We lead the world in terms of technology. And what's also really amazing is to see the ingenuity that that citizens bring, but also that we're nurturing in the federal workforce. And that's something that the Idea Lab does, is nurture the innovation and entrepreneurship that exists already in the HHS workforce.
And there's another piece of HHS that lends itself to a lot of data analysis, and that is the payments that it makes to the tune of around $700 billion every year out through Medicare and Medicaid services. And do you have some ideas or have some thoughts about perhaps how they can continue to use the data to try to help waste, fraud, and abuse, and so that that money can be spent more efficiently?
Yeah, the open data movement is actually that was started by my predecessor, Todd Park, has had some really wonderful consequences in that by looking at the data, we can see fraud and abuse more clearly. You know, I really see data as a mirror and a window, and we can see ourselves more clearly in the mirror of data, and we can also use data to look through the window and see the reality of the situation. More to the point of immediacy, we are looking at ways to use technology to support newly covered preventive services that are made available as a result of the Affordable Care Act that people may not know about. And so we're looking at ways to do outreach to let people know how they might obtain those services.
All right, you've had a couple of pretty prominent predecessors, as you just mentioned, Todd Park, although you speak a little slower than he does, and Brian Sivak. What will you like to do first to make your mark on HHS?
Well, what I bring is this dimension of social entrepreneurship, and it's building on my work at the Pew Research Center and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, looking at the evolving role of the Internet and how we form networks for action. I've always been really interested in how people find each other online, and that comes from the fieldwork I did in communities of people living with rare disease who feel like they're all alone until they find each other, and that's what the Internet can bring. And there's a parallel in that people who have an idea, people who are working for the federal government, who have an idea about improving a process that they're involved in or improving service delivery to citizens, sometimes they feel alone. They feel like they're an entrepreneur with an idea and there's nobody else. But what we like to do at the Idea Lab, which was started by Brian Sivak, is bring those people together and introduce them and give them training and tools so that they can start the kind of revolution that's really possible now that people have access to the Internet and access to these networks for action.
All right, and final question, how many miles a week do you run?
Well, I'm actually an outlier that I don't track my run, but I probably run 12 to 15 miles a week.
All right, well, I recommend one of those little things because it's fun to see where you've been and you can make the maps and so forth. Susanna Fox is the Chief Technology Officer at Health and Human Services. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.